Well, Father, I truly do thank you, and I praise you for all those who came out into the house this day. I thank you, Father God, that you are the great I am, and that you are truly with your people this day. And all those, Father God, that are sad for this day, Father God, I'm asking you to release gladness into their hearts and let them come rejoicing. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God wants us to learn about our interconnection this morning. But before I go into that, I don't know if anybody read the article about Kathy Walters where she needed some money and God said, what if I give you a cow? And she said, well, God, what am I going to do with a cow? And I don't remember the whole story, but God, but the cow represents a never-ending, supply, because it constantly gives you milk, so you always have a supply. Well, I ran across this article yesterday, and she said, my name is Christy Ellis. Me and my family live on a small farm and ranch in Texas. In August of 2018, my friend sent me an article made by Kathy about cash cows and encouraged me to pray to God for the same thing. At the time she sent me that article, we didn't own any cattle, and financially things were pretty tight. A week later, after praying, my husband came home and said we had a calf out in the pasture. My father has his cattle on the same land, so naturally I thought one of his cows have had a calf. Together we called my father to tell him that a new calf had been born, and that's when he told us he wasn't expecting any calves this late in the season. He came over to help us try and figure out where the mother cow was and where it could have come from. It didn't take us long to figure out that it was an orphaned calf that was not part of the herd. For the next 3 days, my father called the other cattle ranchers surrounding our property trying to find the owner, and no one claimed the calf. Since I stayed home during the day with my children, my father gave the calf to me to bottle feed and nurse back to health. A few months had passed, and in the early months of 2019, the Lord started telling us we needed to expand the farm. So we bought goats and more chickens and ducks. In late April, I started praying to God for another cow for our herd. On May 1st, exactly 9 months later from us receiving our first cow, my neighbor called me and stated we had another calf in our pasture. I came home. My husband and I began scouring the 20 acres for this mysterious calf. About 45 minutes later, we found this tiny red calf curled up in a ball in some tall grass. A few minutes later, we noticed a mother calf that was not part of our herd. That's when we realized we had two mystery cows in our pasture, not just a calf. I asked the Lord, Lord, have you done it again? Are these cows ours to keep? And the Lord responded that if no one claimed them in 3 days, again, just like we waited 3 days to take ownership of the first calf, then we would be able to keep them. Jokingly, I asked for confirmation on this spoken word. Kathy said that we can have more than one cow. We can have a herd, so maybe we will get a supernatural herd. That night, I went into prayer and asked the Lord for a scripture that would confirm what happened that day. I randomly opened up my Bible to the book of Ezra, chapter 10, verse 8, which says, anyone who failed to appear within 3 days would forfeit all his property. God is good and faithful. So, when Kathy was praying for monies, God said, what if I give you a cow? And so here he kept giving this lady cows. So, and God called her cows cash cows. So we need to be praying for God's cash cow and get an overflow of them just like this young lady did. Amen. All right, let's go into this teaching on interconnection. God says, my children, you must get connected to your inner connection. You must understand every aspect of your inner man. And Romans 7:22 says, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I say a different law in the members of my body. Now, concur means be in accord and be in agreement. In other words, Paul is saying, I agree with my inner man, the inner spirit, but I still do things I shouldn't do. Let's go back to scripture. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. This is what Paul was praying for the Ephesian church. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is width, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. Amen. In verse 16, Paul said that he would grant you, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So Paul is saying the inner man needs to be strengthened by the Spirit of God continually. Now, the inner man is another way of describing the spiritual aspect of a person. The outer man, by contrast, would be the visible external aspect of a person. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul asked for spiritual blessings, which are the best blessings. First of all, he said, strength from the Spirit of God in the inner man and strength in the soul. The strength of faith to serve God and to do our duty. This is the strength that he says we need to do God's duty. If the law of Christ is written in our hearts and the love of Christ is shed abroad there, then Christ dwells there. Where his Spirit dwells, there he dwells. So it says, if the law of Christ is written in where? Our hearts, not our mind. And the love of Christ is shed abroad there. We have to have the love there too. Then Christ dwells there. Where his Spirit dwells, there he dwells. All right, now, God said, my children, you must get connected to your inner connection. I read that at first. I wanted to put it here too. You must understand every aspect of your inner man. You have to understand the Spirit of God that's in you. Your inner man has a real source of information that you need to glean from. Your inner man is a well of living waters that never runs dry. As you draw from this well, you will receive heavenly knowledge that will allow you to do great and mighty feats for the kingdom of light. When you guys are, you know, Elaine and Mark, when you guys are on the street, that's what you do, don't you? You draw from that, your inner man, from that wells of living water, and just let God, you know, just bring forth whatever he wants to bring forth, and it ministers to those people. And, you know, those people, if the women are on the streets, they really don't want to be there. They're so bound. Because I know I've talked to a lot of them. You know, they've been in my home. And the men, they don't really want to be there either. But circumstances in life were not good for them. And they made all the wrong choices, you know. And now it's up to us to love them and bring them back full circle around to where God would have them to be. No matter what we have to go through to do it, that's what our job is. I'm hearing God say, that's your assignment right now, to bring the unlovable back into his kingdom. All right, then God said this inner man has within it many secrets to my kingdom that will allow you to not only draw from wells of living waters, but it will allow you to flow more freely with the Spirit. God said, then as you flow more freely with the Spirit, you will first attain great power to restore yourselves to wholeness. And I sort of stopped and pondered that as he said that. He says, then as you flow more freely with the Spirit, you will first attain great power to restore yourselves to wholeness. You know, as we allow the Spirit of God to reveal to us what's in us that's not of God, and then we get ourselves set free. And then God said, and then be able to go forth with that same resurrection power. You know, as God resurrected you, you take that same resurrection power and restore others to their rightful place in me. You in God. All right. First of all, God works on us. Then when he works on us, and we take that same power, that same resurrection and the glory of God, and we go forth and we resurrect others. God said, I am calling upon you this day to come forth out of darkness or hiding and go forth with healing in your wings and heal this nation. Do you hear what he says? Go forth with healing in your wings. You heal these broken souls and these minds are so tormented. This nation has been torn apart piece by piece, and it needs total healing. There is a mighty works for you to accomplish, and the only way you can accomplish this works is through the knowledge of the workings of the inner man. You know, you have full understanding of what the Holy Spirit inside of you is accomplishing through you, then you'll be able to do the great mighty works that God's calling you for to do. I was thinking this morning, I've been getting quite a few phone calls from people that used to come to church, but then they stepped out of church, but they're calling now, and they're wanting to hear from God. And so this morning I was sitting at the desk, and I was just contemplating and listening to God, and he said, you know, daughter, if you're going to be a prophet, then always be a prophet. He said, people are going to start calling on the prophets once again, and you have to answer and let me speak to them when I need to speak to them. That, you know, like one I'm dealing with right now, for years, you know, they would constantly call me, and God would lead, guide, and direct them. Sometimes they listened, sometimes they didn't. But now, you know, God worked with them, and now God's working with their children who came to church with appearance, and now the children need to hear from God. So, you know, we need to be available at all times to answer the phone or do whatever to minister to people, answer an email, let draw from the wells of living water that you have inside of you, and let the Holy Spirit prophesy to the people through you and give them what they need so they can move forward. All right? I'm hearing God say, once a prophet, always a prophet. He does not take that calling away from you. And he's using the prophets. I'm just hearing him say he's using the prophets now in a mightier way than he's ever used them. And I was telling Brother Christopher that our jobs right now are really powerful. I mean, we have a lot of influence and impact upon the lost that we're in contact with. And we really have a valuable, important role to play in the body of Christ right now. And God isn't finished with us. He's just beginning with us, because we're in a new assignment, new dispensation of time, and there's new things that he has to use us to do. All right? So I want you to be encouraged. I don't care if you've been discouraged. I don't care if you've been down in the molly grubs. I want you to get encouraged this morning and rise up above that junk, and because God's ready to use you to do great and mighty things. Or you talk about Sister Astrid, every Thursday night she has a Thursday night Spanish meeting. I don't think anybody's come, have they, except the church? But I told her, don't get discouraged, because I remember when I preached to one or two people, I said, just keep preaching. So see how God's opening door now? And he's going to start, and God told me this morning, he's going to start building your ministry now, because you were faithful with a few. Now you're going to preach to the multitude. You know, we're always tested. We're always tested. So remember that. All right, God said, this knowledge of the workings of the inner man will come out of your intimacy with me. In other words, you're going to have to stay intimate with God in order to have that inner man filled constantly. As you walk in total intimacy with me, your maker, you will understand all heavenly things, for I have created you to have full knowledge of how the heavenly kingdom operates at all times. Remember how God told us that we were going to know the secrets of heaven? And this is a time that God wants to do that, and he wants to just put that into your inner man, you in your spirit man, and then you'll draw from those wells. You'll find yourself saying things you don't even know yourself. You really will, because God downloads that into you, and then when somebody needs that, he'll bring it up and just say, where'd that come from? It's because, you know, you've been intimate with God, and your spirit man's open, and God can just download that anytime he wants to. Then God said, as you draw from the knowledge that is in your inner man, you will find yourselves walking and talking only those things that I have ordained you to do. Won't that be wonderful? He says, as you draw from the knowledge that is in your inner man, you will find yourselves walking and talking under those things I have ordained you to do. A lot of us just need to shut up and only speak when God wants to speak. God says, come now and gather yourselves unto me and draw from the rivers of living water and go forth and conquer in all signs. All right, then God said, this is final gathering of the saints' time, and you are the harvesters that I have chosen. As you continue to grow in me, I was doing a perfect works in your inner man. and I was causing you to see more clearly how my spirit works within and around about you. Now, if you're really being intimate with God and you're allowing your Holy Spirit man to be fed, and your inner man to be fed by the Holy Spirit, then you will find yourself saying things to people that you have no clue of ever saying. But because your inner man is full of the Holy Spirit, God just pulls that out and ministers to people. All right? And so, you know, sometimes you'll be sitting there talking, don't think, boy, look how smart they are. And you're sitting there saying, wow, listen to all this. You know, you're saying that to yourself, and they think you're all that and then some. And really, God is just speaking of what he poured into your inner man. All right. Then I said, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 3 and check out the prayer Paul prayed for our inner man to be strengthened. Paul's prayer is that we are tied more and more closely with Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, it is as if we invite him to come and make our hearts his home. But in a very real sense, he is not yet at home there until he takes full possession of every area. He takes us on a tour of our hearts. He takes a look at a room that is behind a locked door and says, child, I would like to go into this room. I ran across it, so I thought this is pretty neat, so you're getting it, all right? He takes a look at a room that is behind a locked door and says, child, I would like to go into this room. Would you please hand me the key? We might be very unwilling to do so. We might be afraid to let him in that room because of what we keep in it. You say, no, Lord, I keep that room locked for a reason. There are things in there that it would not be appropriate for you to see. I have some favorite sins and habits I keep in there. I'd rather you not go in there. For Jesus to dwell in our hearts by faith would require that we give him the key to that room. It would be as if he says, child, your heart is now my home, and I must make myself at home everywhere, even in this locked room. Give me the key, and let's clean out this room of the things that don't belong in your life, so that I can truly be at home in every area of your heart. Later on, he takes us to a closet, sniffs, and says, child, there's something smelly in this closet. Open the door to me and let me have a look inside. And we say, no, Lord, not that closet, because that's where I've been keeping the resentment and bitterness that I've been holding onto against someone. It's been in there for years. You can have access to everywhere else, but let's just leave that closet alone. Believe me, you don't want to open that closet. But he says, child, if I can't go into this closet, then I'm not really at home in your heart. Open the door. And let's go in and clean those awful putrid things out so I can truly be at home in your heart. Later on still, he says, let's go have a look in the basement. You were afraid he might say that. Oh, Lord, you say, please, no, let's not go into the basement. I have some things in my past that I'm deeply afraid of down there. Horrible things that I tried to forget. It's dark down there, and those old things are very frightening and very ugly. I'd rather keep them there under lock and key so they won't ever be free to bother me. Let's just stay on the upper levels where it's well lit and happy. But the Lord says, child, if I can't have full access to the basement and you with me when I go there, then I'm not really at home in your heart. Take my hand. Let's go down there, turn on the lights, and conquer those things together. And later on still, he says, I would like to have a look at the attic now. And once again you groan, oh, no, 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 Lord, 1,000 times no. Not up there. That's where I keep my thought life. And I sure don't want you to see what goes on up there. That's where I go to think about things I don't want you to see. And once again he says, child, if I don't have the attic, then I'm not really at home in your heart. Open the door to me. Let's go up the stairs together and clean out what's in your mind. Let me be the Lord of your thought life, and then I can be truly at home in every area of your heart. I thought that was a pretty neat story. And, you know, a lot of us have rooms and have them locked, and we don't want God to go into those rooms. We don't want him to see what's in there, but you know what? He sees anyhow. He knows all things. And what he wants us to do is invite him into those rooms and say, God, I need you to take this junk from me. I can't deal with this junk anymore. And you're never going to go on with God as long as you have a locked door. You should never have any skeletons in your closets. You should be open and upfront with everything, and then God can use you in abundance. So then Paul prays for us that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, truly dwell there. He prays that the Lord may gain access to every room in the house so that he can truly make himself at home. And you can see now why Paul says that he prays that we would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. We would need all of the strength that the Spirit provides in order for Jesus to make himself at home in every area of our hearts. We would need all of the strength that the Spirit provides in order for Jesus to make himself at home in every area of our hearts. The reason why some of you are still going through deliverances and are still bound is because you still have locked doors that you don't even want the deliverance team to see. But the deliverance team, they are not surprised at anything, and they don't talk about what goes on. These sessions are private, they're personal, and the only way you're going to go on with God is by getting all the doors unlocked. Get all the garbage out in the open and dispose of it. Amen. This is the reason why you have so many people bound, is because they're still thinking about what happened to them as a small child, or still, you know, you did things in your life you wish you regret, but you can't take that back. You have to let go of it, and you have to walk on. And you don't just let go of it, walk on with a sad face. You let go of it, get joy in your heart, and just walk on with the joy of the Lord in you and around about you, so that everybody else can draw from that strength that you have in your inner man. Are you understanding this? I see too many people sitting in the house of God, so bound up, wondering why God isn't using them, or they're trying to, in their own flesh, their own strength, trying to do things for God, and it's not working. And they're crying out, why isn't this working? It's because you're holding on to things that you need to let go of. And God's saying he wants to get into your inner comfort zone. Yeah, I guess you must find comfort in some of those things you're holding on to. And you have to let go of them. Just have to let go of them. I was thinking about my sister who, you know, her husband shot her and killed her, but she died holding on to things she should have let go of years ago. They didn't do anything for her, you know. And, you know, you need to quit judging people. You don't know why they do what they do. You really don't. You shouldn't judge your mother and father either. You don't know why they made the decisions they made. You weren't in their shoes. And you really, somebody said something to me yesterday, I said, I don't know what I'd do, because I said, I'm not walking in those shoes. I don't know. And I will never know until I do walk in those shoes what decisions I'll make. And we just need to quit judging people for what they do. This is the reason why the church is bound up. This is the reason why you don't see people coming into the house of God, because there's too much judging going on. All right? All right, the fullness of God in Ephesians 3:19. Paul doesn't pray that we might be filled full with God. Rather, he prays something remarkable. He says that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. We should be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't know about you, but I tell God, I need all that you are. I need every bit of you abiding with inside of me, because it's rough out there. And the enemy, he plays hardball. And if you don't have all of God in you to draw from, he's going to mess you up. It's not a bad thing to tell God you need all of him. That's what he wants. He wants all of himself abiding inside of you. Paul's prayer is something that is definitely a continuous process. No matter how much we grow, there is more fullness to fill us. Did you realize that? I don't care, you know, I'm talking about my own life. I don't care how much I think I've attained. All of a sudden, you know, God shows me something else or does something else. I said, wow. You know, it's a continual thing. You'll have that until the day you die. Always something new that God wants to put into you. There's always new knowledge, you know. There's always new power and new authority. God is not an old stale. I'm hearing him say he's not an old stale God. He is a new God. And so there's always new things that he wants to fill you full of. So don't be content with what you have. Say, God, if there's anything new today, I want it. What do you have new for me today? You know, just let him pour it into you. You don't know what you're going to meet today, do you? I'm hearing God say, I want you to meet each day head on, full of me, and there won't be any surprises if you do it that way. And I'm hearing him say, give me full and total, complete rule and reign of your heart, and then I will be able to use you the way I want to use you. How can? All right, I said Paul's prayer is something that is definitely a continuous process. No matter how much we grow, there is more fullness to fill us. But how can we, little creatures that we are, little dumb little sheep, right, be filled with all the fullness of someone that the universe itself could not contain? It can only happen as Jesus Christ makes himself completely at home in our hearts and causes us to comprehend the fullness of his love for us. Do you hear that? All right, I said, how can we do that? It can only happen as Jesus Christ makes himself completely at home in our hearts and causes us to comprehend the fullness of his love for us. The apostle means what he says by the fullness of God. We are to understand all those gifts and graces which he has promised to bestow on man and which he dispenses to the church. We are to understand all those gifts and graces which he has promised to bestow on man and which he dispenses to the church. In other words, you have to understand that God gives you a gift because you're able to hear it. You hear me? Don't think you're unworthy. If God didn't know that you could carry that gift, he would not give it to you. And when God gives you a gift, he expects you to use it. He does not expect you to sit on it. All right? Now, to be filled with all the fullness of God is to have the entire soul filled with meekness, gentleness, goodness, love, justice, holiness, mercy, and truth, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go over that again. Meekness, gentleness, goodness, love, justice, holiness, mercy, and truth, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You should have every one of those fruits operating in your life in their fullness if you're going to be a minister of the gospel. I don't care if it's in a church. I don't care if it's on the street. I don't care if it's in the workplace. I don't care if it's in the bathroom. You should have all these working in your life in their fullness. And what God fills, neither sin nor Satan can fill. Consequently, it implies that the soul shall be emptied of sin, and that sin shall neither have dominion over it nor a being in it. Your soul has to be totally, completely emptied of sin, and that is possible. And when it empties out, the Holy Spirit just takes over. That inner man just fills that inner man, you know, and Satan can't get in there. You have to come to grips with that. If you really empty yourself out to God, get rid of all the junk, then the Holy Spirit comes in there and you make a home for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell, then the enemy cannot intrude and come back in there again unless you invite him. He cannot come in there on his own. You have to invite him. And when he tries to come in, you have to make him leave. You don't give him access. You have to make him leave. You know right from wrong, then live what's right and shun what's wrong. I ran across this statement too. There is no end to the merits of Christ, no bounds to the mercy and love of God, no limits to the improbable of the human soul, improbability of the human soul. So there can be no bounds set to the saving influence which God will dispense to the heart of every believer. We may ask and we shall receive, and our joy shall be full. There can be no bounds set to the saving influence which God will dispense to the heart of every believer. God will fill your heart full of himself. I don't know about you, but aren't you tired of hearing people talk negative? I'm talking about Christian people talk negative. Because we should never be talking negative things. We should always be talking uplifting things. And instead of us coming against our fellow brother and sister, I don't care what they're doing, instead of us coming against them, what we should be is praying for them, holding them up before the Lord. You know, and just see what God will do with them. You're not God. You can't get them saved. You can't make them live a Christian life. You can't make them talk a Christian life. All you can do is be a vessel that shows what Jesus Christ should look like. Right? That's all you can do. In his letter, in Paul's letter to the Colossian believers, Paul speaks of Jesus Christ and says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." It pleases God to dwell in us in all of his fullness. Later, Paul writes, "For in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, for in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." See that? Let me share something here. If you're really walking in all the fullness of God, you will feel very out of place every place you go. You will. Why? Because the Spirit of God is so full in you that you can't really stand the darkness that's around about you. And you'll just really feel out of place. I'm talking about myself. I just feel really out of place. And I know when I'm in a place that I should not be. You know, if I go somewhere, and I know that I shouldn't be there. Because my spirit witnesses to me, I don't want you here. It might be if I was going to go, I was going to go minister to somebody. And my spirit says, I don't want you here, leave. And I felt very out of place when I stepped onto the property. There was danger there and God did not want me there. If you're walking really close to God, God will lead, guide, and direct every one of your footsteps, just not one or two. Every one of your footsteps, he will lead, guide, and direct. And if you're really full of God, you will no longer walk an offense and you will no longer worry about what people are saying about you because after all, you're dead in Christ, right? And it doesn't matter what anybody says about you because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And you're just going to walk on and you're going to be happy and they're going to think you're crazy. You know, in fact, they're going to talk bad about you because you're happy all the time. Because they can't find that happiness because they don't have God in it, either not at all or in his fullness. So they can't understand happiness in dumb times. They just can't. Lost my place. Now we're mad. To the degree that Jesus occupies every portion of our lives, to that degree we are filled with all the fullness of God because all the fullness is found in God. In Colossians 3:11, Paul writes, "Christ is all and is in all. In Colossians 3:20-21, now Paul concludes with, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I want to stop there. Somebody in my house was throwing a fit. Friday. And finally little Isaiah went and he said, "Are you ever throwing your fit now?" And then he said, "That wasn't nice, you know. What was you throwing a fit about?" And the person said, "Well, I'm through with my fit, and it's okay, don't worry about it." He said, "Well, I don't like you throwing fits in front of me." You know, and he said this so boldly, you know, he couldn't get popped a good one, but he said so boldly and walks on. But that's just how he feels. He said, "I don't like you fighting and carrying on in front of me and around me. I just don't like that." And he'll let you know in a heartbeat. We need to be the same thing. We need to be so full of God that we just don't feel comfortable around anything that's not godly, is what I'm getting at. And you don't want to be around it, and you walk away. You just don't go there no more. Romans 12:1-2 implores us not to be conformed to this world's way of thinking. Rather, I must have got something wrong there. We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And isn't that what God's been dealing with us about is renewing of our minds. We need to get rid of the old mindsets and get God's mind in our mind. And then we will find ourselves not laboring over everything or anything really. You just take things as they come and just let God handle them and you just go on. This mind renewal comes about as we allow the Holy Spirit free reign within our inner man. He begins to change our actions and desires to match His. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, y'all, when I went through a spell there, you know, when God said my tree was rotten and He cut it down. I went through a time when I didn't even feel the Holy Spirit except when I was preaching, and God wouldn't let me quit preaching because He knew I would never get back up again. And that was a terrible time. I couldn't even stand my own self. I couldn't, because I knew it was what I was doing was not godly. I just, you know, I wasn't cussing or anything, but I just knew I was not godly, that the Spirit of God was not dwelling in me richly. And I was so glad when God finally got over that mess with me. And the Spirit of God then dwelled richly within me. And I don't know how you live if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling richly. I really don't. I honestly don't, because it's such a dark, secluded time and place. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings life and it brings light. And I'm hearing God says it recharges you and gives you the vitality that you need to go forward. So please don't ever get to that place. Don't ever get your tree chopped down. All right? Stay in the fullness of God and that won't ever happen. Well, God told me I was going to go through a Job experience, so I don't know why I had to go through that. But I did, and I didn't like it, but then God didn't care either. All right? Something I had to learn, I guess. Romans 8:13 tells us, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. See that? It is God's desire and design for human beings that we live always directed by the born-again nature, the inner man, which is in step with God's Spirit. Your inner man is always in step with God's Spirit. But our fallen natures want to rule, and so a spiritual battle rages. Isn't that what we see? Isn't that what you see during deliverance? That old fallen man, he wants to keep control, and he doesn't want to let go. And sometimes they don't get delivered because of that, because God told me they enjoy what they're doing, and they're not going to let go of it. It's not that you can't get the demon out. That person is holding that demon in there because that's a room that has a lock on it. And they don't want you to unlock that door because they're enjoying everything that's in there. That's what God told me a long time ago. All right, the extent to which we surrender that inner man to the control of the Holy Spirit is the extent to which we walk into continual victory over our fallen flesh. All right, the extent to which we surrender that inner man to the control of the Holy Spirit is the extent to which we walk into continual victory over our fallen flesh. What did God say to us in the beginning? He said, your inner man has a real source of information that you need to glean from. And your inner man is a well of living waters that never runs dry. And as you draw from this well, you will receive heavenly knowledge that will allow you to do great and mighty feats for the kingdom of light. Now, I want you to start drawing from that. I really want you to start drawing from that. Really want you to start drawing from that. Some of you are getting ready to really jump off the building, as it were. You know, commit suicide. You know, you're just going to let everything go, and you're just going to go ahead and plunge into God and let God use you any way He wants to use you. And you're not going to hold anything back from God, and you're not going to say, well, are you going to or aren't you going to? You're just going to go and say, I know you're going to. And I know you're with me. And as you go forth with that mindset and that attitude, God's going to do great and powerful works through your hands.